You know, our talk today is from the book by Ernest Holmes called Creative Mind and Success, and it's one of his earlier pieces that he's written, I think way back in 1919, somewhere around there. And I obviously can't believe that all this wisdom and intelligence and everything else happened before I was born. But unfortunately, it has been out there for all the ages. And this is the most remarkable thing, is that creative mind, creative success, creative intelligence, creative wisdom has always existed. And we only accept it to the point where we have become aware of it. So, in my instance, in growing up, first of all, I didn't know about creative wisdom, but there came a point in my life where I was starting to question and beginning to ask more about, well, what's this? And, you know, why is this happening and not, you know, why is it happening here and not there? And so, because of all those questionings, it allowed me to be more open to know and to receive. And I am just thrilled that I came into congruence, or I came into a feeling of oneness, integrity with myself, and it seems everybody else, when I've realized that we are all one. It's a oneness of this universe. And God creating the heavens and the earth made a huge difference to me than I understood it in the past. I have understood now that this creative God is not only back then, but is still everywhere. Right now, presently, still in the creative mode, still in the mode of infinite intelligence, still in the mode of just being there for us whenever we need one of these beautiful spiritual qualities that we've named. And we have several names for them, but they are all in the oneness. So today is, the topic is where demonstration takes place. And in the science of mind, which is a philosophy that Ernest Holmes founded, also along with other new thoughts, he also was impressed by other new thinkers, and so he incorporated their wisdom, their intelligence, into his own philosophy. And of course, so many people have branched off from his philosophy. And it just also shows that it's truly one. You know, it doesn't matter where wisdom comes from. It is just one source of it. And so where demonstration takes place, demonstration means bringing what you're thinking about, bringing your wishes, your wants, your needs, your desires. And I'm saying your, but just know that I'm meaning me, because I have so many desires that I need to see come forth into manifestation. And manifestation means being in the physical. I am thinking of, and I want to see. So whatever your thoughts are, we go into that aspect of what happens from my thoughts to seeing it here. Now, people do this every day, very, very naturally. And that's because they have maybe not, some of them may not even have a sense of knowing that I have such a strong belief that this is happening, that it's actually manifesting, like, immediately. Some people have big desires, big dreams, and in order for them to see it manifested in their presence, in their physicalness, then it seems as though there is a process that one must go through in order to incorporate it within their own selves and to literally see what it looks like. Because, you know, how do we know we've received something unless we have already seen it in our minds? You know? How do we know that this is what I am praying for? So, again, this is where the oneness of all things come in, because we must have that sort of a mold to work with. And that's why I brought my Play-Doh today, because because we are going to mold what we want to achieve in our lives. Because at one point, once we do the molding, then we just leave the rest to creative process. And creative process is what we call the love of God or the law of God. The law of God is basically like the law of nature. It is the law of nature. God is, and God is everything present. And so the laws of nature are like the laws of electricity or the laws of gravity or the law. So if we can mold our thoughts, if we can have our thoughts in a receiving mode and just leave and just know and believe that it's going to be filled with what we desire, then hey, you know, we would be coming, I would be going, coming a long way from literally just having the thought there. So the reading actually started off Creative Mind and Success by saying, does demonstration take place in the patient? And Ernest Holmes used to call, you know, clients patients, or people who come in for prayer patients, or even in our own selves, because patient has this symbolic feeling of I need help, sort of. That's what my interpretation of it. So he said, does demonstration takes place in the patient, the practitioner, which is the person praying, or in the mind of God? Let us see. We are, and this is quoting from the book, let us see, we are in the mind of God, and so it must take place there. But the patient is also in the mind of God, or there would be two minds. So, patient, mind of God. And so it must take place in the mind of the patient also. But that is the mind of God. So what does it matter where it takes place? So it is important for us to grasp that one thing, which is, it is all one. God is, and God is everything we want. God is everything I need. God is everything I am, right here, right now. And if I could just truly know that it's all in the oneness, that I'm reaching out to the oneness, and the oneness is coming back to me. I can see that. If I don't make sense, please let me know. I could be a little bit tongue-tied sometimes. So we do not have to project our thoughts, obviously, because mind is right at hand and can never leave us at any time. All that we have to do is to know within ourselves, and when we are absolutely convinced, we will have made that demonstration. So we don't obviously have two minds, because it's not in you and in me, and there is God. Because it's one mind, and because we are a creation of that one mind, and because you and I are in that oneness, we absolutely have to be one. We look different. We have different thoughts. We have different creative ideas, we have different paths, like the tapestry I talked about, you know? And we have to be different, because this is what creativity is. Creativity is enriching life. It's like life exploding. It's the fullness of life. And so if life doesn't grow, if life doesn't expand, then it's not life, and it's not God, it's not mind, because God is ever fulfilling. God is ever exploding into newness, into differentness. And I had to learn that very quickly recently, but I have always been learning that, you know, it doesn't have to be one way. It doesn't have to stay one way. And the more I am open and aware that God reveals itself as me in different situations, in different circumstances, is the easier it is for me to see my reality. And so just keep that in mind. So what is the mind of God? The mind of God is the place where everything happens. And of course, everything would mean something completely different to everybody else. It means so much to me, but your everything might be different. Your everything might be so much different than hers. So it's where things happen for us. It's our world, sort of. It's the origination of all things, of cause, as we call it in science of mind. In the beginning was God, and God created all things. Mind is right here, right now. And it cannot be changed except into its own self. So if we see changes, it's only that we have evolved into different conditions, different circumstances in our own lives. And this is where mind, you know, explodes for us. So from, because these are just little chapters, I had to go into different areas of the creative process book, into the Creative Mind and Success book, just to pull a little bit more information. And from the chapter on what life is, Ernest Holmes says, and I quote, "Life is one, and it cannot be changed except into itself. All forms are forms of this unity and must come and go through some inner activity. This inner activity of life or nature must be some form of self-consciousness or self-knowing. In our human understanding, we would call this inner knowing or consciousness or thought. The spirit of life or God must make things out of himself or itself, doesn't have to be a him, through self-recognition or self-knowing, or as we would call it in thinking, or self-knowing as we would call it as we think. Since God is all, there is nothing to hinder it or him or her from doing what he or she wishes." I have to say, Ernest used a lot of real masculine English. Sentences. He was more the Queen's type of English, where I learned that everything, if you didn't know what else to put, you put he. And so that I'm thinking that this is the same. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you hear me say he, it doesn't mean he.
It's more inclusive.
Yes. Yes, it's all inclusive. So since God is all there, since God is all, there is nothing to hinder him from doing what he wishes. And the question, how do things come into being, is answered, God makes them out of himself. God thinks or God knows, and that thing which he thinks or knows appears from himself and is made out of himself. And so, how do I know that this is really happening? How do I know that this is what God is? Well, I can't tell you how to know it, but I know that just by believing that it is already conquering 100% or maybe 85% of your knowing. Just believing, and you can look around and see for your own selves the interaction, the goodness that God is. Because I say goodness because God is life fulfilling. There's nothing better than that. Once there is a fullness of life, once there is a wanting to be and to grow and to be ever more yourself, be ever more expanding, be ever more something more beautiful, something more perfect, it has to be a life-fulfilling goodness. So that's where I say God is good. If God is anything else but life-fulfilling, then God would be death. Because if it's not life, then it must be something other than life. And other than life, I don't know. So it has to be all life. Even in death, it is still life. Because it's a continuation of the fulfillment that God is, you know. It's just a continuous flow of goodness. So why do I need a demonstration? Well, a demonstration is basically just my magic of believing. So just because I believed it, I see it. And so the physical appearance is an absolute important thing just for us human beings, I'm certain, because God doesn't need to prove within God that He is God. We all know that. But in our humanness, there is that conscious and subconscious aspect of us that kind of gets a little bit, you know, sort of interwoven in our thoughts, and then all sorts of things that we start thinking of. But if we have to really, really think about, yeah, this is God, I am God, this is what I want, and this is the creative process that happens around it, bang, here it is. That is my source of belief, knowing that God is. And so, what is belief then? Belief is getting up every day with certainty, knowing that our hearts are still pumping. We don't have to think a whole lot about that, you know? It is like, you know, putting on the coffee pot, pressing the button, and knowing that we can turn our back and come back and meet like 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee ready for us. It is just that absolute knowing that it is going to happen. You know, it's getting out of our chairs and knowing that we are able to walk for more coffee or for water or for outside the room. Just knowing that, hey, something sustains me. I don't know what it is, but I believe I can make it to the door. And so, it's these basic, just basic small beliefs that can encourage us to know that, hey, even if I'm not in perfect control of knowing what is going on within my body, knowing why my heart is pumping, knowing why my cells are alive and alert, and knowing why all these things are happening, it's like a secondary belief. It's like just knowing that it's there, it's happening. But if you really think about getting up and think about how much effort and calories we are using to move each limb of our body to do whatever, then we start looking a little deeper and knowing, wow, you know, this is some creative process within me. So use that process in understanding more about what I want. I want this. So I have a mold that I'm going to make. That mold is my thought. So I mold it, and I have that open, it's like an open vessel, an open receptacle. Just knowing and waiting for that creative process that makes my body run. That same creative process, I don't have to do a thing about. But I know that creative process will fill the vessel that I have created with my thoughts. And that's the belief we should hold on to, that God is, and that God is ever creating. And once I put my thoughts out there, once I think about it, once I have a dream or a desire, regardless of how big or how little, it can be filled, it can be fulfilled. And so belief is absolutely necessary. When we pray, we must believe. Our idea of prayer is not so much asking God for things as it is believing that we already have had what we needed. So we are asking, yes, because we are reaching out to our bigger, higher selves. We are saying, I want, I need, I wish, I desire. But you are not saying that in the sense that there is some grand God out there that is saying and waiting for us to grant our wishes. It is an inclusive thing. So it's like almost like giving birth is in my mind these days, because I've had so many people around me, you know, doing all these, having babies. I'm expecting my grandbaby any day now. Yeah. And I've had two other people who have had babies just within the last week or two. So birthing is literally on the tip of my mind now. And, you know, there are times when with the birthing process, it's almost like a struggle. It's almost, you know, they have to go through all these, instances of pain and heartache and, you know, uncomfort and, you know, discomfort. But as soon as the baby arrives, there is this joy, there is this gladness, and it's almost like a celebration. And so I think it's almost the same thing. Even if what we dream of, what we desire, it's like us reaching out into our own selves and birthing that idea and just bringing it forward, bringing it into a newness and celebrating that newness with what we have achieved. That's the only thing I could think about when it comes to, you know, even a form of struggle. It's just that us reaching deeper within our own selves and not to a God that is, you know, arms folded and waiting for us to beseech and to kneel and bow in homage. Not that you cannot. Some people do kneel because it feels that they are in a prayerful state, but you're not bowing or kneeling in a state that this is what I need to do in order to get what I want. You know, just be in the flow of it. Just be in the aura. Be in the moment, that knowing that there is nowhere I need to go to get what I need. It is already here. And so even if I reach out into the ethers and say that this is what I need, like the boys in the swimming pool, they ask. They didn't know how it was going to happen, you know, but he reached out and said he wanted watermelon, you know, from Connie's story this morning. And so it's like instant is the magic of believing. He didn't know he was going to get it right away, but for some reason he had it in his consciousness and it was fulfilled. So this is something that we definitely keep in mind. Another aspect of demonstration, Ernest Holmes had mentioned, and I don't know if it's Ernest Holmes, please forgive me if it's not, but I think it's from the Creative Mind and Success. And he said, we need more backbone and less wishbone. And again, this kind of comes around where I was talking about, you know, we're not wishing aimlessly. We are not wishing and hoping and keeping our fingers crossed. Oh my goodness, I just hope it can happen. We are using what we have. We are using our awareness. We are using our God self to say, this is what I want, and I am open to receiving it. In that way, then I guess, you know, you just stand in the place or in the sense of achieving or getting more intuition, getting more guidance as to what's your next step. Because sometimes it just doesn't happen like you know, bang. It happens in stages. And with each stage of awareness, with each stage of intuition or guidance, then you're led to another stage. And you know you're in that flow because it feels good. It feels life-giving. It feels, you feel open and you feel like you want to do and be more. And that is life. Life cannot stay in one stagnant position. So you've reached one position and then you're moving on to another. And before you move on, you get that inspiration. Ah, I should go here. Or I'm inclined to go to the library, or I'm inclined to do, you know, meet a friend. And from these little instances, then you get a bigger purpose because something else more fulfilling unfolds in these interactions. So always be open to knowing that your answers come in so many different ways, so many different directions. Yeah. So I have to go with failure. Because failure in the creative mind and success, Ernest did address that. And some of the reading, of course, it's just almost quoted, but I think he has done so much of a better job than I could ever do. So I'm going to quote, he said, why so many fail. So, quoting, the ordinary individual sitting down to give a treatment to his business unconsciously does just the thing that he should have avoided. And then he wonders why he should get the desired results. Most people simply sit and wish for or long for something. They may even have a great desire or hope. They may even go so far as to believe that their desire is going to happen. All this is good as far as it goes, but it does not go far enough. What we must do is to provide that already having received attitude. So it's like one long word. Already having received attitude. This may seem hard at first, but we can easily see that it is necessary. And as it is the only way that mind works, this is what we must do. So the already received attitude is almost like forming your mold, getting a model of what you want, seeing it, feeling it, getting, if it has a taste or a smell, you know, get that feeling, that smell, that sense of what it is, and put ourselves into that already having received attitude. So I'm praying for a home. That's my issue right now. I'm praying for a home for my daughter and myself. And it's been a while. And, you know, sometimes one would get, I got caught up into the day-to-day instances of what was happening and all that. And yes, I have always believed, but I don't know if I've had that already having received attitude. I am telling you, when I started reading this chapter, which I had no right reading, but I went to it anyhow, I'm like, wow. It put my mind, my body, my thoughts, even my taste buds, everything is in a different space right now because I'm in an already having received mode. What else could go wrong? Nothing could go wrong in that mode. Nothing. There could be no distractions at all because I've already have it planted deep within. I've already received it. So anything that comes along, it's already my journey. It's already my mode to having received. It's on my path. So that has given me a very powerful realization. And this is one of the other things that I love, this philosophy, because it doesn't put me in a victim stage. it puts me in a state of being empowered enough to know that God is good. Life is all fulfilling. If you want to call God energy, universe, the energy that I'm surrounded in and that is in me is absolutely life-fulfilling and will open and deliver my thoughts. You know, it will fulfill what I need. And that's where I am. That's what I believe. So I share with you to, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, if you need something to show up in your life, just pull from this already having received attitude. See what it feels like. And I'm saying see what it feels like, because that doesn't make sense. But feel what it feels like, you know. Hold it in your thoughts, you know. Do what you need to do to keep that image there and to feel what it feels like to be living, in my case, living and, you know, just being at ease and moving from room to room in my own home and, you know, being able to... I already know where my meditation room is, because that's always a big deal for me. I always put a little space. So I know exactly where I'm going to put it. It's a little space in my living room. I don't know where the living room is going to be in terms of the direction, but I know that's the first thing I thought of. So already having received attitude is my deal, and so it is the only way that the mind would work, and this is what we must do. So always remember that spirit makes things out of itself. It manifests in the visible world by becoming the thing that it will become. So you can attract only that which you first mentally become and feel yourself to be in reality, without any doubt. But the mold that most of us provide sometimes, unfortunately, is a very poor one. And so we change it so quickly that it is more like a motion picture than anything else. Mm-hmm. So hold on to your dream. Don't get discouraged. Hold on to your dream. Hold on to your goals. Yep, I like that. That's a yes. You know? And don't change your dream simply because it's not happening quickly enough. Because maybe it's at the time when we move on to something else that, you know, possibly something is going to happen. So hold on to what you believe. And what you believe, you would know for sure because you feel it. You know, it's like an integrity, it's like a oneness with yourself, you know. It's a dream that's just not letting you go. You want to let it go, and you've tossed it aside for years, you've done all this stuff, but guess what, it keeps popping up again. That is something that you have deep within you, and it's something that needs your attention. So don't give up on the dreams too quickly, because it sometimes would take a process to get there. So in closing, these are the things that I remember for myself, and I'm sharing it with you. I want to develop a feeling tone within me in order to see physically what I want. I know that it starts in my thoughts. I know I need to build that mold and literally walk through the paths, the halls, the rooms, wherever in my own mind first before I can literally see it opening up in a physical way to me. The other thing is the law always says yes. The law of God is the love of God. There is no way God says no. No is literally, I don't even know why there's a no. Because the law of God says yes. Whatever you put out there, it says yes. And so be careful. You know, it could be, you could go in sort of inverted ways and said, I don't care. And the law says yes. And so you would see that you don't care because you become lethargic, you become lazy, you become, you know, you want to be on your own, you want to be depressed or whatever. Not that depression is that aspect of it, but the law says yes when you say, I don't care. And so it gives you everything that you don't care about. But if you say, I want, you put it out there, whatever it is, then your awareness opens up and you seem to see more things that will encourage you in that direction. So remember that the law will always say yes, so be careful what you are asking for and hold on to what feels good within you. What feels like oneness, what feels like integrity, what feels like alignment, hold on to it. Because you will feel some joy from it. And in that way, you know that you're not struggling, you're not lingering in a negative kind of a point of view with it. So, again, it takes patience, sometimes a lot of patience. Demonstration can take time. Seeing what you dream of can take time. Again, don't get discouraged. You know, it's human nature that you want to see it now, and you want to see it in this way, or in this pattern, or in this coordination. Don't get discouraged, you know. See little tidbits along the way, like Hansel and Gretel, you know. You can pick up the little pieces, because that tells you you're on your way home. When you can pick up a little bit here and a little bit there, you can see within yourself, this is leading me home. So kind of hang into that. If it is not happening, recalculate your desires or reroute your desires. I love my little thing. I think Abraham GPS. Does that. The GPS. Mm-hmm. I love my GPS. I think I just love when I totally disregard what she is saying, because I have a lady on mine, that she doesn't holler, yell, nothing. She just said, rerouting. It's like, rerouting. And I'm like, oh, jeez. I purposely went somewhere else, and it doesn't matter. Wherever I go, it was rerouting. And so sometimes when, with all the patience we have in the world, sometimes using that time, that downtime, to reroute, just to look at where we are, is this the mode that I've put myself in? Am I in a feeling tone? Am I in a space of really, as the word said, already having attitude? Am I in that space? And sometimes we just need that downtime to reroute, to recalculate our desires. And if it's not happening, then, again, embody the desire, feel it, taste it, live it, even before it appears. Then respond differently to it. Just remember, it's all within me. It is me. God is. If God is everything, if God is all there is, if God created this universe, I am part of this universe. So that means that I am part of all there is. And if I am part of all there is, then whatever my thoughts are thoughts of the one mind. So if it's the one mind, and I'm part of that one mind, and God is all there is, then whatever comes from my thoughts has to be part of who I am. It's all me. Thank you.
Thank you.